I believe there are not many clients in other industry understanding what telco capable of, right? What we can do to help them. We are able to identify how many customer that visiting that railway station having the apps or having the competitor application. We can help them also to acquire new customer using the machine learning approach. We can calculate whether this ABC location are a good fit to open their new stores. SMS is still favorite because all devices support SMS.
Welcome to CVM Stories, the podcast on customer value management. Together, we explore how companies can be more successful and the customers happier through the use of latest customer value management techniques. Learn key commercial and analytical insights from telecoms, retail, finance, and other industries that drive CVM forward.
Today, our guest is Hermovan Kristanto, Head of Data Monetization at Smartfren Telecom in Indonesia. Hermovan shares his vision on data monetization and countless ideas on how telco data helps to grow other businesses. So, let's dive in.
CVM Stories is produced by Exacaster. We help companies take their customer value management to the next level. To stay updated on our latest episodes, subscribe to the podcast or sign up for an email newsletter at exacaster.com/CVM Stories.
Welcome, Hermovan. Thank you for joining our podcast.
Thanks for having me, Egi.
Yes, and Hermovan, when we were discussing with you, I know that you are in telco, I don't know, from the beginning of the century, sometime long ago you started working in this field. Could you briefly describe what you currently do and how did you end up in telco industry?
Yes. I was start when I was college, right? Back to 1997. That's more than two decades ago, right? So you can guess how old am I now. So I was studying in electronics majors, specifically for telecommunication. During that time, telecommunication still very new in Indonesia. On early 2000, I think we just start to build 2G network. 3G just coming on the late 2004, 2005. So I was thinking that it's supposed to be the future. That's my thinking on that period. So I take that majors and I graduate on 2004. And I take, I right away working in the telecom companies, not on operator or MNO side, but I'm working with telecom providers for BTS, RAN, and those kind of infrastructures to build the network. Mm-hmm. I was working with...
So you are Lemcon. Kind of the servers guy, you know?
I built a BTS. BTS. Ours, yeah, from the greenfield. So on early 2000, there's not many BTS here in Indonesia. So getting a signal is a bless. So you can imagine that during that day, I remember to get 1 Mbps is like, wow, it's like a dream. But the price is so expensive. And not yet much OTT app during that time, right? On 2004, 2005. So all the operators here are trying to expand their network all of all the province and the islands. Just to give you where is Indonesia located, right? I think you heard about Bali.
Yes, I have been to Bali.
You've been there?
Yes. Yes. We've been there.
Indonesia is... You didn't like it?
Like it. I liked it really a lot. Yes.
You like it?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. That is the most famous tourist attraction province here in Indonesia. But there are more than 17,000 islands, you know. Mm-hmm. To build and spread network connectivity, then needs a lot of investment. It's from the government and from the MNOs and from the broadband company. So we hand in hand to build and make sure what our president wants is everybody need to get the internet access. You can imagine that we have to more than 275 million of population. And it's not in one single island. That's spread all in 17,000 islands, Egi. And to build that, then it needs a lot of investment, good regulation, and all the telcos, they want to make money, but they want to ensure that investment is getting a good ROI, right?
Yes.
But for the islands that would have a less population and they don't have a power to buy for internet, then where that is the government subsidize us as a company who provided the internet services. If you can imagine, now in Indonesia, mobile connectivity is more than 370 million. It's around 133% more than our population. And then 77% already covered by internet. And almost 200 million are really noisy on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just draw a line where we start on 2000 and then now it's 2023, it's more or less 23 or 24 years we are in the industry, then it's become a red ocean. We are trying to get the same customer, all the operators. And the challenge from current telco is how we can be the leader in terms of services and the network coverage and who can provide the best product, bundling product. We also have a fast kind of product we can bundle with OTT apps, with Netflix, video, and et cetera, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was also working in the US, just a bit background. When back 2009, the project was finished in Indonesia. So my company has put me in South Africa for 2 years and Canada and the US. So I'm also doing the network implementation on that country, 3G and 4G.
So when you came back, you basically were kind of building base stations around in Indonesia like crazy, yeah?
Yeah. You know, the number of BTS now, if you compare with Brunei Darussalam population, you know where is Brunei Darussalam?
Yeah. Yes.
It's our neighbor country.
Mm-hmm.
The population is not more than 500,000. Our BTS is more or less 600,000.
Oh my God!
if I can give you a very funny you can imagine. In order for us to serve the nation or all the islands, is not yet 100% cover. We already have a connectivity or backbone for the internet, for all the cable. It's around 343,000 kilometers. If you remember, Earth circumference is only 40,000 kilometers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our backbone is like you are doing, you're circling the Earth around 8.5 times. So it's so long and it's so expensive to have these backbone facilities. It's covered from the fiber optic, under the sea, inland, and we also have satellite also for an island that cannot be reached by the fiber.
Okay. This is like, this sounds like a tremendous challenge, you know.
Tremendous challenge, yes, especially for us as a telco or MNOs operators, yes. So we need to find out how we can monetize more on what asset that we have, right?
So, Hermawan, so you moved from building the base stations and enabling the network into your current role, which is about data monetization. Yes, could you tell us more a bit what is your current role?
My current role is very simple. I have data about more or less 40 million of Smartfren customers. How you can monetize this for other industry? Because if you're talking about monetization, it's going to be can be two aspect or two dimension. It is used for internal use case for a business improvement, meaning that I do segmentation for my CLM team for upsell and cross-sell kind of campaign just to make customer happy. If they happy, then I can upsell what product that they have purchased. But the second aspect is how I can use this data for other industry. And we have done this for about 1 year. Then we see that there are a lot of demands, Egi. In Indonesia, I can just give you a brief here. In the last 3-4 years, we have more than 40 fintechs company, almost 80 fintech company. Fintech meaning like a P2P lending, you know, BNPL, buy now pay later, and this kind of company is really growing now. But now the challenge with us, I mean with the government, they also have what they call it financial historic database. But you know, we are spread all over 17,000 islands. To get all the 100,000 of financial data from all this huge population, it is not possible at the moment. Because not all Indonesians have a bank account. We call it unbanked, right? If they have bank account, but they rarely use it, or they never use it, then we call it underbanked. So from 270 million of population, you can say 50% are unbanked and underbanked.
Okay.
Meaning, when this underbanked or unbanked person try to get loan from a bank or from P2P lending or from the BNPL, this company will try to get additional database, right, to ensure that this person are eligible to get X amount of loan. The first database that they revert, basically our government database. So this company will check to this government database. If the data is not there, they're coming to us to telco. We are as the alternative data source. Our job is to verify whether this customer number is active or not, whether he already do the SIM swap yesterday or not, is to avoid fraud. Does the number is being recycled in the last few weeks? Or we also generate a telco score just to give an additional data point for BNPL, fintech, and P2P lending company to make them confident that this particular person are eligible to get X amount of loan. That is just one of the use cases. We attack or we are providing a scoring, then API, KYC verification to financial institution that I mentioned. And the second use case that also very important and now is having a high traffic and demand is about lead segmented generation. As a telco, we know our customer segment, right, Egi?
Yes.
We know our customer segments. We know what they do, what is their behavior, what is their movement, what kind of device that they have. So all those data are become a treasure for us that we can monetize, right? We can create X amount of segmentation as per demand by the customer. For instance, me as a user of Bank A, right? This Bank A, I already have a credit card of this Bank A. But Bank B, he launched a new product, right? He wants to acquire new customers by looking at who is the competitor of this of his bank B products. So telco have a data and identify whether this person having bank ABC or multi-finance ABC, and then we can segment that and we can targeted campaign and do acquisition, right? They can put their promo through WhatsApp or SMS. Mm. That is very interesting.
Can we go a bit deeper into those use cases? Because not all of the use cases are, let's say, very familiar for us.
Oh, yeah?
For example, let's start from the second use case that you mentioned. Yeah. So let's say I am a bank, yeah, and I want to acquire some specific customers, like with some properties, you know, that their maybe revenue is bigger or they live in specific locations, etc. And so how would I do it? Would I basically kind of purchase campaigns from you as a telco, or would you give me, I don't know, some segment identifier to give me information? How would I work with that information to start acquiring the customers?
We can reach our customer through our traditional channel, SMS, and then WhatsApp. And even though we also working on with RBM, you know, reach business message. To answer your question,
yeah.
Yes, we are approach a bank or other clients, mm-hmm. we educate them what we can do, mm-hmm. right? I believe there are not many client in other industry understanding what telco capable of, right? What we can do to help them. So we give them kind of hints that we can help you to acquire new customers. If you want to target a specific segments for your competitor, for example, in a specific location with a specific demography, or they have a specific digital behavior, what kind of app that being accessed by this particular segment, we can work on that, but we must be comply with GDPR. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
GDPR.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we already identify this segment that already requests by our customers, then we looking at our database, right? We look at our database, how many customers that being eligible in that segment. Just give you an example, maybe just 10,000, right? 10,000 numbers that eligible with that segment. Then this customer will ask, can you send that campaign through WhatsApp? We can. SMS, of course we can. Or through advertising. We are working on that also with advertising agency. We also can do that. We are also engaged with media agency. So who's sending that campaign? We as a telco, because we own the numbers. We will not hand over or give any numbers to any external parties. Unless for government, if they have kind of for a criminal purpose, that we will we need to follow that regulation, right? But for customers that they want to do campaign, we the one who will send a campaign on behalf of that banks. The campaign content must comply with regulation, right? The content must be having a benefit for our customers.
Okay.
Right? Let's say a bank have a credit card promotion, right? If you buy in this, just put brand, coffee, then you will get 10% discount.
Okay.
Only for Smartfren customers. Because that is for our customer and they get benefit, then we allowed to do that. Because customers will feel, this is for Smartfren. I already have a partnership, B2B partnership with
okay.
And the bank, right? So it's a win-win solution basically for us. They know that we are partnership with a big brand, And then for bank, he also have an awareness about what a new product that just launched, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to reflect on what you say, so in order to make a really successful data monetization use case, you basically couple three things, yeah? So you couple the value for the consumer, you couple the value for you as a telco, meaning like you charge for the service, and the third part is you provide the real value for, let's say, other big brand, yeah? So these are kind of three building blocks that you combine together in a pretty unique way, and then basically kind of create a win-win-win situation, if I understand correctly.
Yes. Yes, yes. If we give or provide a services, this must be have a benefit for customers, right? They not feel that we are trying to really like monetize, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in a way on how they feel get help, right? It's like an additional added value for them from the telcos and the partners.
Okay. Now, have you done any studies or just from your experience when you work with big with other brands and when you run campaigns with them, do they report kind of how do they compare you with other their marketing channels? So for example, I don't know, digital advertising through the same Meta and Google and etc. It's like can you show that the results are kind of better, different? I don't know. How does this part work?
Yeah, I do study on that too. You know, the funny fact is SMS is still the favorite, Egi. SMS is still favorite because all devices are support SMS, right? Yeah. All devices, regardless. It's an old, new, or LED, like a very old device, you still get and receive the SMS. But if you're using advertising or WhatsApp, then you need to install WhatsApp, right?
Yes.
Indonesia, there's still around like more than 20% are still using feature phone, where we cannot target them through WhatsApp. They still love to do SMS, like elderly and people who live doesn't have the internet, so they just use an SMS for the communication, right? But yeah, as per study, SMS still have high takers. They read and then they do action on that. But for advertising, I think the takers is less than 1%, to be honest, advertising. So that's why telco now become a new kind of a reference
mm-hmm.
for a media company
okay.
to get more intelligence.
Uh-huh, okay.
This is interesting,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're approaching us because we have big data.
Mm-hmm.
We can process according to GDPRs. Then they're approaching us. They want to get a specific segment from telcos. Because, you know, I think it's this year's or last year's, iOS or Apple already implement cookieless, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There is no cookies anymore. So it's very difficult for media agency to target specific segment for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I think this year or next year, cookie is no longer a good option for the media agency to make a specific profile from the audience. So that's why telco is play a big role. They're approaching us, right? We know their ID based on the transaction. We can stitch the ID with phone numbers. And based on these two data, then we can build hundreds of segments on that. The difference between telcos and the cookies, telco is actual. It's actual transaction. We can kind of get what our customer doing in our network. We can process it and we can create segmentation based on that.
Okay.
This is interesting. It is new business. We are working with the programmatic advertising company.
Mm-hmm.
we're just like become a new third-party data source for media agency company, something like that.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, so media agencies, let's say they used to collect cookies information and then from that do some analysis, like, I don't know, profiling what type of customers were there, etc. But you can enrich this information with a much deeper insights, like a true demographic.
Correct.
Let's say, estimates of customer wallet size. Let's say you can estimate what is the specific share, let's say, of brand, if they use something like apps, etc. You can kind of, can you do things like, I don't know, Starbucks versus other coffee kind of alternative, you know, you can say, this is how many people go to Starbucks and this is how many go to the other coffee brand, you know, and kind of drive them from one place to another. Because this is kind of, I'm trying to understand more use cases here, you know.
Yes, that is the use case that currently we're working on. It is still new. So retailers and then FMCG, they also approaching telco to understanding their competitor behavior.
Yeah. Okay.
And then telco is not working alone. We also have a partner that helping us to do the provide us with the tools or platform that able to deliver what the customer needs. Right? For example, one of railway company, they want to analyze their train station. What is the most visitors coming from? Where is their location, their home location? What is their office location? This railway station also have their own apps. We able to identify how many customer that visiting that railway station having the apps or having the competitor application as well. We can help them also to acquire new customer by identify that. I mean, if this customer doesn't have this train company apps, then we can offer them with the app with a specific promotion or ticket fare,
okay,
etc.
Wow, this was something that I didn't know. I knew about the use cases for the mobility, you know, for the government, from the government perspective, you know, how to plan the city, how to plan the traffic. But these type of use cases, when you say, okay, we have a specific train station or kind of commute providers, yeah? And you can actually help them to grow their app business. This part is very interesting. Could you share some other use cases related to mobility?
Yeah, mobility is basically it's helping retail company as well to understanding the customer movement in specific location. We are able to understand and knows that in this POI or point of interest, during the weekend, we are able to capture the traffic. And based on that traffic, we identify the phone numbers. And based on that, we can see in the last 6 months, what is the trend? What is the most, the home location of that visitors over there? So we can create kind of chart that the most visitor of this point of interest or location is coming from this ABC city in the last 6 months, for instance. By that information, if say there is a mall, then it can give a kind of advertising on that city about an even upcoming events that will happen, right? Just keep an awareness. So those kind are something that being looking for at the moment. And the second one is about, if I don't know, are you in Bulgaria or in another country?
Okay.
If in Indonesia, I do commute every day. I commute from my city to Jakarta. It takes around 1 hour. It transit more than 10 train stations. And on every train station, you will be able to see kind of advertising on the TV screens, right? By using our data, you will understand the demographic or the visitor of the train station based on the customer movement, right? If you know who visiting that train station, then you will get 360 view of what kind of data or information that you will get. For example, that this train station are mostly visited by elderly, just a sample, right? We can see from their demography and what kind of app that they being accessed. In Indonesia, you will see teledoctor app. If they access that app or X numbers of times in a month, then we can see that we can tell to the advertising or media company that you can approach this teledoctor company to put their advertising over there, because in the last 6 months, X number of elderly visiting that train station. Those kind of information that we can, some use case that we have provided.
Okay.
Just for example.
So if I understand correctly, then the media agencies should be asking quite a lot about specific locations where there are billboards and TVs are, yeah? So what are the typical questions that media agencies tend to ask you?
Type of question? They want to understand who is the audience that will looking in their TV screens, because they want to see the numbers of the leads, right? Leads will become, if they see the ads, if they do something on it, then they become action. Action then become acquisition. That is the last goals that all the product owner wanted, right? Leads, and from the leads then become action. And then it's at the end acquisition. They will subscribe to the products, install it, and buy the product from there.
Okay. Okay, makes sense. Now you also said that you do micro segments by yourself, and you tag customers with some characteristics. And then you use this data kind of to sell it. To give some point of analysis, what are the typical micro segments that you would do? Is it something like lifestyle? What do people like? Or is it more financial profiling? I don't know.
It's lifestyle. Lifestyle can be anything, right? It can be... what is their preference, e-wallets? And then what is their digital behavior? Especially for youngsters, smartphone user is mostly in between 17 to 40 years old. Most of our customers is millennial to Gen Z, if I can say. And based on that, then we can put a specific tag on each phone number's owner. If I can say that e-commerce or e-shoppers, meaning that this phone number's user, they like to shop on a specific e-commerce platform, right? or online stores. But under e-shoppers, we also put some categories, right? Does he a loyal customer, loyal e-shoppers, meaning that he just shop from one particular shop, or he is a seeker or hunter seeker for promotion or cashback, meaning that he is a bargain hunter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we can derive rules on what kind of segment that we want. So we need to back and see and brainstorm. If I want to say that these customers like to do the, he's a loyal customer, then what kind of rule I have to apply on that? So it's a long exercise. So we have also a data analyst with a statistic background that can extrapolate and count how many MB that they use, how many times that you should access to a particular website, and so on and so on.
Mm. Okay.
it's unlimited, Eggy. If you ask me, it depends on what kind of market.
Mm-hmm.
And for this market, what kind of segment or targeted audience that they want to get, right? Based on that, I need to think and sit back, oh, for that, and I need to build this micro segment, ABCD. But from this ABCD, we need to break down into the details.
Okay. So, Hermovan, I have one totally random insight. For me, it seems that, you are running a customer value management, but not for a telco brand, but for all the other brands that are in the country, you know?
We help them. We have all what we have. I mean, three or four years ago, we doing that for ourselves,
yeah.
Right? We do it that for our CLM campaign. But that is a little traditional way of doing things, right? We are mature on that. Now we want to do it more what we have for other industries.
Okay. sounds like a very good approach. Now, do you see your business line growing? Like, I don't need the exact numbers. Yes, it's like, because I know this is a secret, but I don't know, is your team growing fast, etc.? Just to understand how significant this business arm is now for the telco, and how do you see it in the future, you know?
Hmm. Yes, of course it's growing. I mean, if you do the data monetization across industry, between telcos, we are not compete. In here, we have four telcos, big giant. And number one, they have 40% of market shares. Number two, they claim they have 20%. Number three, they have 15%. And we are number four, we have 10%. In order to fulfill all the underbanked and unbanked population, then we need to be hand in hand, right? Because when the customers try to apply for a loan, and this customer using smartphone phone numbers, then they will ask me to verify whether the customers are eligible to get a loan, right? If this customer using my competitors, I will tell, just use that numbers, ask them, are you eligible or not? In fact, Eggy, we are now make friends, you know. Have you heard about Camara project?
No.
Camara
no.
project? No. Camara is a standardized API standardization that being blessed or enforced by GSMA, right? They want to apply API standardization globally. So the goal is when we communicate between telcos globally, not only in Indonesia, we're using the same API specification.
Mm, okay.
What is the input? What is the output? What is the security mechanism? We follow the same standard. So now we are ongoing on that direction. In fact, every telco now, we have become their resellers. They resell our product and we sell their product. Win-win.
Wow. That's totally unexpected, you know?
Yes. It is still new. It is still new. I will send you a link on how we just published this, I think, on February 22nd this year, last month. That we are cooperate together and hopefully that we getting more revenue from that cooperation. Mm.
definitely. wow, this is an unexpected area for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like something new, you know. Wrapping up the discussion about the use cases, which of the data monetization use case is for you personally the most exciting, and you see that this is the most successful so far?
I think now we are still on the helping financial industry to grow their acquisition rate, right? At the moment, I think in the next 2-3 years, this business is still growing because still a lot of opportunity, market is still open, unbanked and underbanked population is still more than 50%. Maybe every year they just add not less than 5%, to be honest. So it's still a big opportunity for us, but you know, competition is very tough. And then all these P2P lending and financial company, they have acquisition costs, right? If you see the journey of digital banking. In Indonesia, it's become a new trend for bank and P2P and then multi-finance. They not open a new branch. They not open a new office in the city. Everything by mobile app, right? This is where we're coming to help them. In the mobile app, if you want to open a credit card or apply for a loan, then this bank need to verify whether this customer's ID are valid with their photograph, right? It's through the biometric process.
Yes.
Then after that is done, then they need to validate whether the pictures are fake or not. Spoofing is happening a lot here. Spoofing is happening a lot. So face detection is also become a big a business here. Then if that is passed through that process, then this financial company need to verify whether the customer is eligible for a amount of loan. So I think API business is still will be the champion for the next 3 years. But in other hand, we also open for partnership, Egi. We not just rely on our database. You know, we need to get other product, even though it's not really kind of big data kind of product. We also have a retail company. It's a good, I can give you an example. One of it is about we helping an analysis for a retail where they should open a shop or store.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
And for that we have the data, and then the partner also have population database, and we can get the data from this retail company from other location using the machine learning approach. We can calculate whether this ABC location are a good fit to open their new stores.
That sounds very interesting. One more question. So when you are saying that, for example, doing the face recognition, etc., so did you launch your own KYC product as well? Is this like kind of, are you putting this kind of everything end to end?
We have a partner who will help us to do it. All telcos, I believe, they will not develop that kind of solution at the moment. They're focusing on what data point that they have. But for technology platform, we'll do partnership with a company who have a major on that business. And we in the Smart Friend, we have sales army, Egi. We are on the B2B business, okay, in Smart Friend. There are two parts of organization in Smart Friend. On the left, this is traditional telco, meaning that it's doing selling a SIM card, vouchers, airtime, and so on that we have done 20 years. And this one is the new one. This is new business for enterprise, right? For this new business for enterprise, one of the pillar is new business development. That is on my team, right? Under this new business development, there are big data and AI, and then FMC, and then IoT 5G. This is something that we are working on at the moment. But other than that, we also try to add more products. We bring more partner that we will analyze, assess what kind of solution and product that they have, whether it's sellable or not.
Okay.
We the one who will do GTM, right? Sales and go-to-market, commercial agreement, and so on. We are fronting the customers.
Okay, makes sense. It seems that you are trying to conquer, you know, the full Indonesia market with everything.
Yes, we want everything. I mean, if it is sellable, because our sales are across Indonesia. We have more than 34 provinces. I think we have in more than 30 provinces. Bali is one of our office there. And then they're not only selling SIM card or vouchers. They also need to do our product selling, like SMB and then IoT. And then we also have connectivity.
Yeah.
Many things. We kind of telco, but on the SI mindset. We are a product team and also an SI company, actually. We are shifting in that direction.
Okay. One question for me, which it's kind of very difficult, or I don't even know where to start, is, for example, how do you price the data? It's like, okay, I want to give you the point of, say, kind of a specific point profiling. How do I even start thinking about how to charge for that? It's like, what is your framework? I don't want to ask you specific prices, but what is the framework? How do you kind of evaluate this?
In this business, we are not the pioneer, Egi. To be honest, the big giant telco is the pioneers. And they start this business, I think it's 3-4 years ago. And the price is super expensive at that time. But the market is by that price because it's still new. And then there are not many competitors for the financial, right? I think there's still few. And they need this data. So between the supply and demand is, I think they meet on 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
But in the last 1 year, the market has changed. During the COVID, all companies have become doing their digital transformation. Everything is online. And for the financial industry, they also tough, right? They need to provide the best services, but less cost. For all the processes, right? And one of the costs for sure is for us as the data alternative providers. For us, we want to sell more, right? More and high price. That, I think that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
But the market doesn't have the power to buy anymore. Like, 3-5 years ago. So we need to be adept on what is the range of price that they're able to comply or they can able to buy, right? So in the last 1 year, the price is shifting down. But we are playing on the volume, right? So the strategy is we are not selling directly to the end client customer or financial, because if we are doing that kind of approach, then we will take a lot of time to convince fitting and then price negotiation and then commercial agreements. One customer can take easy 3 months for that. Security compliance and so on and so on. So our strategy is we are engaged with resellers or aggregators.
Okay.
This company, reseller aggregator, they have already banks, multi-finance, media behind their existing customers. They try to monetize through these aggregators. For the end client itself, it's become an easier way, right? They just need to integrate with all telcos. They just integrate with one reseller company and they get all the data from us, telcos. For us, it's also become simpler because we just deal with one company, right? And we just first time you sell more, you get more. Right? We can sell by bulk.
Herman,
more volume.
It seems that you know you want to do less job.
No, it's more efficiency, more efficient for us, but more income.
Okay. So far, it seems that you have all the answers, you know, how to do a great business. My next follow-up question is, what are the challenges, you know, when you are building these data products? What are the, let's say, your major roadblocks here?
I think the knowledge of this big data product is about the knowledge itself for the sales, and we must extrapolate and then summarize the data and then wrap it, become something that useful, but it's not jeopardize the GDPR or the PII rules. I think that's the most challenge. But so far we do kind of regular update and train for our sales on how we can approach the customers. Because I think for a financial, they know what kind of information or data that telco have and help them, especially for a company that already shifting to the digital banking and already do the digital transformation. I'm not talking about traditional banking that they are still doing old way of doing things, right? Papers and then a long process of approval. We're not on that direction. That is take a lot of effort. Our focus is on how we can approach to customers that already open with the kind of digital mindset.
Okay. Cool. So this part is, so for me, the interesting part that this is not a technical challenge, you know?
Yeah. Technically, everything is there, Eggy. Technically, everything is there. I mean, in order to you to make API business, you just need to have a good API gateway. Huh? API gateway is everybody have it. Right? Postpaid, prepaid methodology, they can do it, right? Reconciliation, and then partner management. You can also productize based on specific customers, right? You can bundle the product on that API gateway itself. So I think in terms of technology, all are available, but which one is fit and less cost for us, that is something that we are looking
okay.
for.
Okay. So to wrap our discussion, yes, so we'll move to our last part of the conversation, which is our three traditional questions to everybody. So the question number one is, what is your proudest moment in your career?
I think my proudest moment in my career is when I bring this data monetization business in this company, in Smartfren. Because it is still new. Nobody in the company doesn't know what is it. It was a struggle at the beginning. Luckily, I was in an industry more than 2 decades, so I have friends in other telcos that doing this before me, so I can learn from there, get insight, ideas on how we can start. Then finally, we can stand where we are now, right? I think this is one of my biggest achievement and proud moment in my entire career in the last 2 decades.
Okay. This sounds like a really good high achievement, but, you know. And we always ask, you know, to share some failure stories that you can laugh now at, you know, as a professional in telco industry. I bet you had some.
Of course. I think it's not about failure in the term of work that I have done. You know, I mentioned about I moved to US, mm-hmm. right, on 2009, 2010. I live in the US for 1 year with my family. I was thinking that I will be a US citizen. I will get my PR. I will enjoy my life and getting old in the US. But that is like American dream, Eggy. We watch a Hollywood movie since we grow, right? Then on early 1994, 1995, 1997, when the TV is still analog, they have in Indonesia, every night we watch a movie about Knight Rider.
Yeah, I know.
You heard about it. My Gaffers, Tour of Duty, and then all other American movie. And they show a very nice place, right? I was thinking, I was still on high school or on element or junior high school. My dream is I want to go there and living there. Then, the dream has come true. I was thinking, okay, this is my destiny. I will success here in this country. But unluckily, the project is done. I mean, it's gone. Supposed to be I stay there for long, but only 1 year I need to go home. I'm jobless. I don't have job. And then my kid is still they're still 4 or 5 years old. I need to find job immediately in Indonesia back home. I think that is my lowest moment in my career. That I don't have job, uncertainty. Then I need to call my friends, a lot of friends. Luckily, I have a connection. My old friend that they work in one of telcos here in Indonesia. Then he helped me to join that company. That I think that's the moment where I shift from the network guy into the IT guy, because on 2004 up to 2012, I was a network guy. I'm just do implementation, network expansion, do commissioning, integration, just technical things. But on 2013, when I back to Indonesia, I joined with telcos. Then I shift my career into more to IT, into billing, CRM. I think where give me a more strong foundation to make me become what I do it right now.
Okay. That was a very, real American dream, but kind of not in America. You made it in Indonesia, you know?
I hope so.
And the last question for you, Hermawan, could you recommend any resource for people who would like to know more about, let's say, job that you are doing? It might be book, podcasts, whatever. Just kind of what we could recommend for our audience.
I don't have any specific book or podcast or YouTube channel that you should watch or learn from there. But be hungry. Be hungry. If you want to know something, you will try to get it, find it by yourself, learn from there, right? I think that has become my new habit now. Every day is new things. I always say to my team, when you work here, don't think that you just come, drink coffee, do BAU, business as usual, and go home. There is have a very small value for the company and for yourself. If you come to office, make coffee, do your BAU, and then explore new things. Idea is the key for you to learn and explore. By then, if you learn new thing, you increase your knowledge, broaden your views on certain things. That can make you be more like complete. I mean, I know that we never be on that complete state, right? But we need to be more like upscale our knowledge. It can be from anywhere. It's a journey. I never satisfy what I'm achieved now. I need to be always learn something new, getting more money for my company, making new business. Yeah. Yes, right?
I think this is one of the best advice I have heard so far. It's like, be hungry. It's like a very, 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 very good advice. Thank you, Hermovan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it is. Like, I'm thinking to use it as my new slogan, you know?
I just coming from, I don't know where it's coming from. Just say it.
So thank you, Hermovan. Thank you for a great discussion today.
Yeah, you're welcome, Maggie. Thanks for inviting me here to share what I know, what I have experienced with. I hope it's useful for your audience.
Thank you for listening to CVM Stories. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. You can also ask us a question about a particular customer value management challenge you have at work. We will happily ask our experts to tackle your challenge in a future episode.